We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Today is what we're calling this month is called Get in the Game. And today in the Get in the Game, we actually had our Vision Sunday. We had our Legacy Sunday. Today is Draft Day. And you just saw up on the screen there. And let me just, for the sake of the illustration of draft day, show you what it looks like in the NFL. The NFL draft is an annual event which serves as the league's most common source of player recruitment. It consists of 7 rounds, each team having 1 pick per round based on their drafting order. The draft order is based on the team's record in the previous year, which means the team that placed last is positioned to pick first. Have you got that? And of course, if you watch all this draft day, it's all on a clock. It's all a limited amount of times for these teams to pick who their draft is. Let me give you the Bible version of what that looks like. Jesus said, John 15, verse 16, look at this. He goes, "You have not chosen me." If we have it, there it is. "You have not chosen me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might bear fruit." And how many thank God we can get to bear fruit? But not just bear fruit, watch, fruit that lasts. Not here today, gone tomorrow, not happiness in a moment, but over your life. Amen? And he goes, fruit that lasts, so that you will ask whatever in my name, and the Father will give it to you. I want to suggest to you that every single person here this morning, everybody watching online, everybody watching in our Seaboard Road campus, I want to suggest to you this morning, catch it now, watch, that actually you've been drafted. That you actually didn't necessarily choose God. You can remember the day you made a decision to give your life to Jesus, but I want to tell you, I believe that God predestined you, that God pre-purposed you, that God in His infinite knowledge and wisdom actually chose you long before you ever chose Him. And in actual fact, we're in what we would call an army. That this is a draft. This is not just some sort of, you know, should you sign up, should you want to. But God has drafted every one of us. Amen? And so I want to talk to you today in this sign-up day. There's Siri just gone a little crazy on me. She suddenly just decided to do something on my iPad about draft. See, don't ever think they're not listening. They are. There's a good example right there. I want to talk to you today about a bird in the Bible. And it's a fascinating bird. Matter of fact, this is for the first few minutes, if you'll bear with me. I want to give you a little bit of a history and an origin about this bird. And it's actually a raven. And did you know the very first specific species of a bird that God ever mentions beyond God created the birds of the air actually is a raven? And we're going to look here. I think we got a picture of a raven. And let's be honest, it's not the most attractive looking bird, is it? And I'm a bird guy. I love birds. I love parrots. I love, you know, birds. I had a cockatoo. And my wife said to me one day, it caused so much stress and drama because this bird, every sunset, would squawk and scream. And this bird, I didn't realize cockatoos really take to just one person. And it took to me. And it usually takes more to a male than it does a female. And so we would let this bird out. Josh and I would let this bird out. And this cockatoo would just lay on my chest and put its head on my chest. It was like a little baby. And it would talk. And if Sharon ever came over to do something, to give me a coffee, and the bird, his name was Harry, and if the bird ever saw Sharon getting too close to me, it would throw open its wings and go, and I would go, "Good bird. Good bird, Harry." And then finally Sharon looked at me one day and she goes, "Steve, it's me or the bird." And I said, "I'm going to miss you, darling." And so, how many know, I chose Sharon and I chose wisely. And so we actually gave the bird back from the place that we purchased it from. And then I asked them, had you sold the bird? And they said, yes, a woman who was deaf purchased it, which was perfect because she wouldn't hear all the squawking that drove Sharon crazy. I got a friend, his name's Bobby Shuler. He actually pastors an amazing church in Orange County, California. His grandfather was Robert Shuler. I call him the late great Robert Shuler, one of the great forerunners of what we do and how we do church today, without a doubt, an amazing man of God who built the Crystal Cathedral. Who's ever been to the Crystal Cathedral? What an amazing place that is, now owned by the Catholic Church. And so Bobby tells the story that when he was there pastoring in that church, that the Crystal Cathedral has 10,000 panes of glass. That's a whole lot of glass. I've been there. I've seen it. It is, in all honesty, a giant aviary is what it is. It's an architectural wonder. It's a national award-winning design facility. I just think it's incredible. But Bobby tells the story that one of the things they had thought could happen is over time the birds might come, because they put this dark caulking, it's like a gel almost, between all the panes of glass. And it really was the major part that held the glass in place, other than the structure that holds the glass. And they didn't realize just how much ravens would come and take a liking to picking out the gel, the caulking, between all the panes of glass. Now, when you have 10,000 panes of glass and the birds are picking them, over time, that caulking is going to disappear, and then the glass can fall out and fall to the ground, which is not good if your church is made of glass. And so they, in anticipation this might happen, they designed a special kind of glass that the moment it actually falls, it somehow breaks with no sharp edges on it. And so it can't cut anybody, which is good foresight. I'll give them that. But I'm not so sure I want to be worshiping in a church where the glass could fall on me. How about you? And so he tells this funny story about how much he grew up with this, almost his father hated birds. Matter of fact, he told the story how that his father would say to Bobby, if you can kill a raven because they're so smart, I'll buy you a car. Now, how many know that's getting a little extreme? I mean, that guy's got some problems with ravens. And so I just think about this, about birds, that ravens are considered by most to be, who've studied them, they may be the most intelligent animal on the planet, even smarter than a dolphin or a monkey. And the reason for it is they can employ logic and utilize tools. When a raven sees food and other ravens are around, they will play dead next to the food, so that the other ravens would see them dead, and them thinking some deadly predator got to them, they would pass on the food source because the other raven was there on the ground dead. Then when that raven noticed the other ravens left, he would jump up and eat his food source. That's a smart bird. If I played dead around the dinner table in my family, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters would have eaten all my food. Anybody come from a family like that? And ravens actually were so smart, they would actually see rock climbers. And I'm just curious, because I asked in the first service and we had one. How many rock climbers do we have in the building here? Any rock climbers? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you're obviously more of an outdoor congregation than the first service by 4 more. And rock climbers actually, a raven would see a rock climber climbing the rocks and they would think it's to get to the nest. So they would push off rocks onto the rock climbers, which is really dangerous if you think about it, to protect their nest. Matter of fact, they did studies on ravens, discovered ravens actually would go to the ice hole of where you drill a hole in the ice and fish, that the raven would actually wait for the fisherman to go, but then they would actually pull the line up with their beak and eat at least the bait that was on the end of the hook, or if, surprise, surprise, it actually caught a fish, they would get the bait and the fish. These are smart birds. And so, you know, ravens, have a look at this picture, are famous for playing in the snow. And this really perplexed researchers for a long time. Why do these birds do this? Why do they lay in the snow like that and slide in the snow? And they actually thought at first it was some way of preening or cleaning, of taking care of itself with hygiene. But they finally came to the conclusion, no, they just like playing in the snow. And they like slides. It's kind of like a cool bird now, isn't it? Not only that, but ravens, they say, have teenage years. Hormones go up, Stress levels go up, so do the parents' stress level. And they then and later become monogamous. And there was a guy whose name was Bill, and Bill had a raven. Well, if your name's Bill, you're probably going to have a raven, right? And so, by the way, if your name's Bill, I mean nothing by it. I just don't think it's funny. And he actually would say that ravens are smarter than any parrot he ever owned. And this one raven that he had would always get into his stuff and hide it. And always he would get this guy's driver's license out of the wallet. The same thing over and over again. Not the credit card, not other things, the driver's license. I mean, that would drive you crazy. And, you know, today when I mentioned about a raven, and we're going to look at it in the Bible, most people, we live an indoor lifestyle. We've got air-conditioned buildings. We're not that interactive with nature. I proved it when I asked how many rock climbers there are. 5 people. Okay? And so, but in Jesus' day, he was speaking, and he was speaking to an agricultural context. These people were way more outdoors, interactive with nature than we are today. And so, how many remember the movie that Alfred Hitchcock did called The Birds? How many remember that movie? How many saw that movie? Seriously, I'm telling you, I was too young. I just heard about it in history. And so here's a little bit more background before I start going into scripture. According to Greek mythology, the raven was the pet of Apollo. And Apollo, they say, the raven used to be a white bird, and Apollo had a white bird. And he suspected that his wife or his girlfriend actually was cheating on him. So he had this white raven, and ravens used to be white, and he sent the raven out to spy on his wife or his girlfriend to see if she was actually cheating on him. And the raven brought back evidence where the bird followed her and went to this house and brought back an item from that house that was where this man was that he suspected was having the affair. And the bird brought back the evidence of that. And Apollo, according to Greek mythology, was so angry, he scorched the white bird with fire. And since then, the bird is now black, which is where we get this thought in Greek mythology that the raven is a symbol of a dark oracle. In other words, there's an expression, I'm sure you've heard it, some of you at least, dark wings, dark news. That the raven's arrival brings a prophetic announcement of something bad about to happen. It creates an imagery of fear and of horror. Not only that, but actually even in the book of in the Hebrew Bible, in Leviticus, it says the raven will be detestable to you. And that doesn't mean you're going to hate the raven. It just means don't eat it. It will taste detestable. You with me here? Just like I would be detestable to you. Don't eat me. I'm just saying. It would not be good. Somebody say amen. Then Jesus uses the raven. Look here. This book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, actually specifically mentions the species of bird. And it talks about it in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to the dirty dozen, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food. The body is more than Prada." That's the Steve Kelly translation. Watch this. Consider the... Okay, church, that was your moment. Consider the... For they do not sow or reap, and they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Now notice Jesus is not devaluing the raven. He's saying, I value it. I take care of it. Consider the raven. It doesn't store up. It doesn't have a barn, and yet I feed it. And he says, how much more valuable are you than a bird? I love that, don't you? And he goes, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the wild flowers and how they grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, how much more? Come on, somebody. Somebody say, how much more? How much more will he take care of you? Ye of little faith. In actual fact, I actually looked at that, and actually it is a translational error, because we read it like Jesus is condescending them in some sense of, you just got little faith. But in actual fact, he was just giving a nickname, little faith. It's like little John. That's kind of what he was trying to say there. It's just like little John, okay? And he's talking to them, and he goes, watch this. I love it, because he goes on and says, and just do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and don't worry about it. For the pagan runs after these things, and your father knows that you need them. Here's the most important verse that does not get considered within that text. It does not get quoted. It's coming up. And this, what I'm about to say to you, the last line is the key. It ties it all together. Jesus is not just saying, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. Do, 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 do. He's not just giving a pump up power of positive thinking. He's actually saying something here. He goes, God knows you need these things. He's not just a motivational speaker. He's not just a rah-rah guy. He's going, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Instead, look after him first. Look after the kingdom first. God knows, consider the raven. Are you catching it? The key here is that when things are going bad, it's easy to make the big mistake and just make life all about you. He who is wrapped up in himself is a very small parcel. If little things are starting to bother you, it's a sign your world is shrinking. You ought to write that down. That's a good thought right there. And ravens in the Bible is hyperlinked. We're supposed to consider all the other times it references something of a raven, and we're to consider everywhere else it's mentioned. So when Jesus was preaching sermons to the Jews, they are hyperlinking it. They've memorized the first five books of the Bible, and the raven is mentioned in the Bible, and it always represents provision or food. Consider the raven. So think about this. The most famous, perhaps, prophet, in my opinion, of the Old Testament is Elijah. And the Bible talks about a raven in the life of Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet of passion. When I was younger, and I'm still young, that was your chance to say amen. That was your chance to say preach, preacher. That was your chance to say you look good. For a 56-year-old man with six grandchildren, you don't look a day over 42. Praise the Lord. I used to love preaching about Elijah. Oh my gosh, Elijah in the Old Testament. And he prophesied against King Ahab. He married this bad woman called Jezebel. She brought all these gods into Israel and detestable practices and human sacrifices and so many things that just caused the people to move away from the God of Israel. And so he prophesies against him and against his sins. And he goes, it will not rain until I say it does. Which is bad news for everybody, including Elijah. Because if there's no rain, and there was no rain for 3.5 years, that means there's drought, that means there's famine, that means there's dehydration, that means there's starvation because there's no crop and no harvest, and there's no, it's just a lot of pain and a lot of challenges. I got a friend who owns one of the biggest safari properties in all of South Africa, and he showed me, he says, Steve, would you pray for rain? My animals are dying. And everywhere, when I was just there recently, there were animals that were just literally just dropping dead. I saw one right in front of me, just dropped dead with no water, and he didn't have any means to get water to the animals. So I've seen what it is for the consequences of a drought. And I said to him, my friend, I'm going to pray for you. And he just sent me a video, and he goes, Steve, we just finally got the rain. And he showed this video of just, I should show it to you. It's amazing. Just isolation, desert, just sand. And then after about 3 weeks, the rain came. And you would never know it was the same property. It was thick, lush grass, 4 foot high. And he goes, praise God, it rained. That's the consequences of no rain. Are you hearing me? And so in 1 Kings 17, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward and hide in a ravine, and you will drink from the brook. And I've directed the ravens to supply food for you there. God directed the ravens. Jesus says, consider the raven. Are you hearing me? And he says, I've directed for them the vivid. And the ravens, listen to this, according to other writings in history of that day, actually say that the ravens would literally go into King Ahab's private storage and his stash. I mean, the king's not dumb. If there's going to be a famine in the land, he's going to take care of himself. And he's got his own private stash. Everybody else is in starvation and dehydration. But the Bible tells us God directed the raven to feed him. But other writings speaking to that time was the ravens would go into the king's private stash of food and reserve. And the ravens would come in and take the meat. I said in the first service, the ravens would take the meat and the cheese. Then I realized Elijah was a Jew. And we're not putting meat and cheese together. Are you with me here? I thought that was funny myself, but clearly none of you got the joke. Praise the Lord. And so he was eating the best meat. He was eating the best food. I mean, for Elijah, it should have meant a super hard time. No food, no water, no crops, no harvest. But he's never eaten better in his whole life. Consider the raven. God will provide if you put first the kingdom of God. He's eaten the king's food. Imagine how frustrating it would have been for the king's men trying to keep the ravens out, knowing how mischievous they are, knowing how clever they are, trying to trap this thing. And the point is, in a season of lack, what is a season of lack, God will provide to you. Don't worry about these things. Are you not more valuable than they? But seek first the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. And when they heard Jesus saying this, they immediately thought about Elijah. They would think about Elijah. They would think about the raven. This is what God's saying to them. And I want to tell you, we need to hear it too. Because I want to talk to you about draft day. Get in the game. And I believe God's drafting us and calling us. How many of God's got a sense of humor? Amen. And he provides for us even when we're going through hard times. I want you to catch it. If you're going through something hard, watch this, focus on him. Put him first. Amen. Second thought, a second mention of this in the Bible of the raven that I think of that comes to mind is Jesus says, consider the ravens. We want to hyperlink the text to know what he's saying to really get the magnitude of the truth of what he's trying to say. And we understand that we're not just to worry about these things, but we're to understand that we're going to consider the raven. Are you hearing it? And God will provide for us if we put first the kingdom of God. Before anything else, put God first. That does not say not to have good wisdom and management and finances and good budgets and good cash flow and good plans, but our priority in hard times cannot just be about ourselves and our own needs. God knows we need them, but put God first. I think we ought to just stop for a praise break right there. Amen. Come on, a praise break. We're considering the teaching of Jesus. But the second one to me is a little bit more perplexing, a little bit more, I don't know what the right word is. I would even use the word disturbing. And it's the book of Job, and the raven appears in the book of Job. And of course, in the book of Job, I've read a lot about the different theories as to whether the book of Job actually is an actual story that actually happened in history. Don't get me wrong, I'm not questioning the canon, the authenticity of the book of Job being in the Bible. But some people would actually wonder if it is more of a parable, that it's actually not a real story as much as like Jesus in the Bible would tell stories about the prodigal son. And it's a parable than it is necessarily a true account. I personally am undecided. I don't know. I've got some questions about the book of Job, of things I don't yet fully understand for all the reading and research I've done. But I do know this, that in the book of Job, watch this now, God and Satan are talking to each other. And Satan says, I see Job and he's totally righteous and good. And God agrees. Yep, he is good. Satan says the only reason he's that way is because nothing bad or hard has ever happened in his life. And God says, no, it's the other way around. Because he's righteous and totally good, nothing's hard or bad. Satan says, yeah, let me at him and let's see how he goes. And this is where I get whether this is an actual story or not. God says, have at it. Actually, all right, you just can't kill him. So you know the story. What happens to Job? Job loses everything. He loses his children. No parent should ever bury their child. Children should always be burying their parents. And Job has to go through the grief and the pain and the heartache of losing his children, but not just his children, his livestock, and not just his livestock, the farm, the barn, the resources, everything that he had in his life. And not only was it external, but the enemy, Satan, even took a hold of his flesh and actually made him sick. And the Bible says that his breath was putrid and he had sores, open wounds all over his body with pus, and just the smell was just awful. And finally, his wife turns to him and says, why don't you curse God and die? And I've said it many times. Imagine being married to that. And not only that, but he had friends who kept asking questions and pointing the finger of judgment. And let me ask you a question before I go any further. Have you ever felt that way? God, I love you, I serve you. Why is this happening to me? And here is Job's wife saying, why don't you curse God and die? Lord, I sought after you. And he has this discussion with his friends. And the main question is, why is this happening? Over and over and over and over again, all three of his friends are waxing eloquent as to their theological, biblical interpretation as to why this is happening to Job. And I read it, and here's what I realize. He said, on purpose, the book of Job does not answer that question. Maybe it's not a good question to ask, even though we all ask it. At the end of the book of Job, God speaks to Job in a cloud. And God gives a speech, not about why this is happening, but God gives a speech, read it, about how great he is and how powerful he is and all-knowing and all-present, that he is sovereign. And he says to Job, where were you when I made the earth? Where were you when I gave the sea its boundary and the shores its boundaries and told it it can go no further? Were you there? Where were you when I created the universe? Were you there? And God says, answer me, Job, where were you? And God is not answering the question why, but I want you to notice he speaks to how great he is and how God's purpose is to move the universe, watch this, the timeline of the universe toward what is good, what is great, and what is much bigger than Job. And Job says, listen to it, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I want to tell you this, all the kids when Jesus said that had this memorized. They were hyperlinking, consider the raven, and considered when Elijah, can I tell you that God will provide for you when it doesn't look like there'll be provision. Amen. And look at Job 38. This is right at the end of Job. This is what God says to Job. Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of lions when they crouch in the dens or lie in wait in the thicket? Who provides food for the? God's asking Job, do you feed them? Consider the ravens. Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and they wander about for a lack of food? Can I ask you the question? who provides food for the raven. Even the raven, a bird that some people see, is something that is historically seen as something dark and dark news. And then Job answers the question and he goes, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The lesson here is when you go through hard times, don't focus on the why, but the what. And what is the next thing that God, you want me to do? And you got two options here, my friends. You can either curse God and die. You can blame, why is this happening to me? Or you can be like Job. You can learn to trust him in any and in every situation. Come on. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's draft day. We're encouraging people to get in the game. Can I just tell you, there's a raven type personality in all of us. And I want to encourage us to always do what's right, to put first the kingdom. Dr. King says this, the time is always right to do what is right. There is a player, his name's Lamar Jackson. And I know this, that the media, I'm going to show you a clip, really kind of tried to put Lamar Jackson in a box. And honestly, they were trying to make decisions about how the NFL should even handle this player. And they were saying things like, well, he shouldn't be the quarterback. He should be a wide receiver. He's much more skilled and competent as a wide receiver. And Lamar held to his ground. He goes, no, I want to be a quarterback. And he finally got a selection in the draft, but it was a very late selection. I think it was Drew Brees. Like, Lamar didn't get the first draft, didn't get the second pick. And he was just had his head down and he's like, oh. And then guys like Drew Brees would walk up to him and say, don't worry, man. I got picked late in the draft as well. And last year, Lamar Jackson won the most valuable player in the NFL as a quarterback. And here's the illustration for you and I. I'm encouraging people today and next Sunday, we're asking everybody to get in the game when it comes to Wave Legacy, to help us do all that Wave Church is called to do. That would you get in the game? And maybe you've never ever committed to legacy before. And maybe this year will be your first year. It's never too late to get in the game. I'm asking you, will you get in this vision that God has for Wave Church? To see 20 Wave Churches across the United States. To see us on national and international television. I was approached again this week by a media company here in the United States that has national and international footprint. And they said, Steve, we want you on our TV show. We want to broadcast your message around the world. And I said, my friend, until you lower your price, I will not be interested. Praise the Lord. How many think that's just called smart? Praise the Lord. Because they're asking, I'll be honest with you, I just think they're asking too much money. And I think we're valuable. And I think here in Hampton Roads, we're the number one TV rated show for religious programs on a Sunday. Actually, I think across the whole week, we're the number one watched TV show, Wave TV. And I want to tell you something. I actually think we are valuable and we have a message and we have something for the nation and for the nations of the earth. But I know God's called us to be a national and international TV. I know he has. As much as I'm standing on this platform preaching to you, pastoring this church, I know God put it in my heart that God's going to give us an influence with the media. And I'm asking you to get in the game. We couldn't do it without you. What we do in Wototo, what we do in building buildings, how we do all. Matter of fact, just yesterday, Josh Kicker and I were on the phone talking to somebody this yesterday about the opportunity for some building that we've been believing for a miracle. I'm not saying much more about it until we do a little bit more conversations. But let me tell you, there could be an amazing response to this. It's great to know people are going to go, Pastor, as in the Bible, we're going to commit, listen to this amount of money, and we'll all commit together, and we're all going to do what we can. And I'm asking you, would you get in the game? Are you with me, church? And there's a little legacy brochure here that we've given out to you. And I want you to have a look at this. And in that legacy brochure, there's just a commitment card. We've already spoken to our financial leaders behind the scenes. I just want to give everybody the opportunity to participate. This year, we're not doing a provision for the house offering in June. We're asking everybody to consider what you would do for legacy. And for some of you, it might be a Lamar Jackson moment. What matters is get in the game. Doesn't matter if this is your first year, would you get in the game? And we're asking you to consider what you normally would have given in that provision for the house offering and legacy, just put them together. We're not necessarily asking you to give more, but we're not going to be doing that offering. We want to do it all just in legacy. Is that clear? Does that make sense? Let me make it as simple as I can. Let me give an example. If you committed in the past, maybe this is your first time, you've never committed, but if you have committed in the past, say $2,000 to legacy over and above your tithe, and then last year you gave $500 in the provision for the house offering, would you just consider the totality of that commitment in this? So that would be $2,500. Does that make sense? Just to help make it really as clear as I can. There's no manipulation. There's no compulsion. I just want to give all of us an opportunity to actually put into the Word of God the practice of, don't worry about those things. Seek first His kingdom. Let's see the mission and vision of the church. The church is the hope of the world. Can you say amen? So that's what we're asking you to do today. And I think I could just make that as clear as I possibly can. And I just want to show you this clip because I've talked about it and I haven't shown it. Check this out.
He's a freak athlete who can throw it a mile, but is small, doesn't read coverages. He'll probably have to make it a different position.
All right, let's stop it. We don't have it, obviously. It's funny because in the 830 service at Seaboard, it wouldn't work. We had picture but no sound. And in this service, we have, and you got to know, our media team guys are incredible. I love them so much, and shame off you. But I will say this. If I were the enemy, I would do everything I could to actually silence that illustration. Because the illustration is this. Come on, get in the game. It's never too late to get in the game. Can you say amen? And let me just tell you, we got great friends that are getting in the game with us here. We've got Wave Leadership College. Is this working? Wave Leadership College. And they have written an article on the Hampton Roads Weekly about our college. And in the Hampton Roads Weekly magazine, and I love it. It's a great article, front cover with a wonderful spread inside talking about our college. And without a doubt, the college is one of the best kept secrets in Virginia Beach. And frankly, not just in Virginia Beach, in Hampton Roads. Let me be real honest. It's one of the best kept secrets in America. It's one of the most affordable colleges you'll ever set foot in. It is an amazing environment of hands-on lecturing with lecturers that passionately care. It's fully accredited. And I just want to welcome today. I'll make sure I always get names wrong, so I want to make sure I get it right. We have with us today the publisher and editor of the Hampton Roads Weekly, Bruce and Connie Meyer. Would you please stand up so we can welcome you today? We're so honored to have you. And thank you for that amazing article. I think we're going to give everybody a copy of that article as you leave. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to need to close this service, and I want to do one more thing. And to me, this is the most important part of the whole service. I want to give everybody here an opportunity to get in the game. And let me tell you that when it comes to Christianity, it's not a game as such. But the Bible does talk about run as an athlete, compete to win the prize. And I just want to say to you, look at me now. And everybody watching online, can I just tell you, look at me. Jesus loves you. Listen to me. Sometimes in a church like this, you've been here long enough. If you're not careful, you can get so used to this, you can lose the wonder of the moment. But literally right now, people are going to make a decision that could affect their life forever. And I want to pray for you today if you don't yet know Jesus. You are not yet a Christian. You haven't yet given your life to God. Maybe today I talk about like Lamar Jackson. It was late when he got the pick. But thank goodness we've all been chosen by God. Whether you, we don't choose him. He already chose us. And can I tell you, if you're here today and you're not right with God, if you're away from God, can I tell you, he's chosen you. You say, when did he choose me? 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross. And he shed his blood for you and for me. Because he chose us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever that would believe in him will not perish, but have life evermore. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living for God like you once were. I want to say to you, look at me now. Look at me, church. Get in the game. Give your life to Jesus. Make a decision today to get right with God. God will not kick the door down. God will not force himself on you. But let me tell you, he's powerful, he's merciful, he's kind, and he is trustworthy. Can you say amen? I want to pray for you today. I'd love the opportunity. I'd love the honor. I'd love the privilege. If you say, Steve, today, pray for me. I don't know Jesus as you spoke of. Maybe today you say, Steve, pray for me. I'm not living for God like I once was. And I want to make a decision today to get right with God. Can I tell you, look at me. There's no shame in this. I know for me, I remember years and years ago, I brought this pastor missionary couple back from the mission fields. And to be honest with you, they were so busy serving God, they lost their relationship with God. And they were just going through the motions. And to be totally honest, the more I talked to the two of them, the more I realized that I don't even know they've got the joy of their salvation. I think that for the wife, she didn't even want to be in church or around Christians. And I remember I gave this altar call and I said, listen, if you just need to make a decision today, just get your life right with God. Don't make it about what you do. Make it about who He is. People can say, I'm not a Christian because of this church or that pastor or that Christian. It's not about all those things. It's about your relationship with Him. And I remember when I gave that appeal, do you know the very first person to lift their hand was this pastor's wife? I got to tell you, I cried because I could see such a change. She was like born again. She was made fresh. She was made alive unto God again. And when you put Jesus in the center of everything and you put Him first, everything else makes sense. Could I pray for you? I'm going to ask you not to stand up, not come to the front, time's up. But I'm going to ask you right where you're seated. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want to get right with God. Look at me now. I'm going to ask you, just right where you're seated, in a moment, to lift up your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Once I've seen it, you can put it down, and I know I'm praying for you. Are you believing with me, church? Are you leaning in on this service? Amen. Are you in faith in this service? People are going to meet Jesus. Come on. Don't just get used to this. This is the most powerful thing that happens in Wave Church every week. I want everybody just for a moment to close your eyes and bow your heads. And friend, if that is you, and you say, Steve, you are talking to me. Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to God. Would you lift your hand right now? All over the building, just begin to lift them. God bless you. God bless you. Who else this morning would just lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else this morning? As I look around, God bless you. There's two hands up there. There's another hand right there. Come on, I'm looking for you. God bless you. There's another hand there. God bless you. There's another hand there. God bless you. Another hand right there. God bless you. There's another hand right there. God bless you. There's another. Each and every one of these is somebody saying yes to Jesus. My last call. Thank you. I see that hand. My last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, give it away. There you go. God bless you. I see you. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? Oh, come on. Whoa. Every single one of you who lifted your hands, this is what we'd like you to do. In a moment, we're going to receive just our regular tithes and offerings. We're also going to receive, if you're a part of Wave Church, you're in the game, and you believe in the mission and the vision of Wave Church, we're going to receive a commitment card, as we're asking everybody to do this Sunday and next Sunday. If you're new to our church and you just lifted your hand, that's not for you, but this is. I'd love for you to take this card and let us know who you are and the decision you made today. And put that in the offering bucket. And here's my promise to you. We're not going to be ringing you every day of the week. We're not going to be writing to you. We're just going to one time reach out to you. Just to affirm with you the decision you made. And then we're going to just say in that same letter what the next step could look like. And if you want to take the next step, we'd love to meet you there. You with me here? So I'm going to ask you, would you please take this card? And let us know how we can reach out to you. Just a way that we communicate and put it in the offering. And then for everybody else, I just want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. Church, I think we should give the Lord a hand one more time for that decision. And let's pray a prayer with those people. Can we do it? Can we pray a prayer with those people? Everybody out loud. Stay with me. Come on. Stay in the meeting. God's moving. Do you realize what's happening right now? The power of the church. People are meeting Jesus. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now let's give God some praise. Come on, let's give God some praise.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.